It's the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores. Capital Mazda, Stevens Creek Mazda, Concord Mazda, and Team Mazda. Hey, it's Sean Del Gran. And this April, we've got outstanding offers on brand new Mazdas. Plus, we've partnered with One Tree Planted to help reforest areas of Northern California. We pledge to plant one tree for every vehicle we sell. Don't miss the Earth Day celebration at the DGDG Mazda stores in San Jose, Concord, and Vallejo.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Star! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Splits the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots, score! A spectacular rush from end to end by Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Face-off drop. Won by the Senators. Fan on the puck with the Sharks. Cunning chips it out. 12 seconds to go. It's going to be a miracle for the Senators to try to tie it here. Here's Stützle moving in. Gets to the Sharks line. Checked by Cunning. Getting it back, though, toward the point. Maybe a chance. Sanderson the shot. Blocked. Another chance by Chychrun. Oh, what a block by Granlund. And the horn sounds and the San Jose Sharks have won. Granlund is really shaken up on the play. And Magnus Krona, who is celebrating his first NHL win, is one of the first guys to get to Granlund to thank him. Final score, the Sharks 2, the Senators 1. Ottawa was trying to repeat what they did in January by coming back late in the third and getting a goal in this case to force overtime. But the Sharks win 2-1, and a 9-game winless streak is over overall. A 7-game winless streak at home has come to an end.
Just really proud of him and happy for him, really, because as we've touched on numerous times in the last 2 days, it's been a roller coaster emotionally for everybody and a lot more so than for some. And, you know, to kind of finally, you could see him all kind of relaxing and feeling good and, you know, just a good performance against a good team. I don't care what that team's record is. They're good. They got a lot of talent. They're well coached. And they're a challenge.
All right. Good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? The threat of an immediate third double-digit losing streak has come to an end. The San Jose Sharks posting a 2-1 win over to the Ottawa Senators yesterday at the Tank. Magnus Krona getting his first ever win as a starter in the NHL. Thomas Bortolo getting his first ever multi-goal game in the National Hockey League. A feel-good day for the San Jose Sharks, who were in desperate need of a feel-good day. And I wish there was some way to quantify and go back in time and find out different franchises that have had very bad news, iconic players being traded away or injured or retiring or things of that nature, and then following it up the next game with a big-time win or just an overall big performance, because that's what yesterday felt like. And I think that there are a couple things that I immediately thought of in my head, and one of them was the era is dead, long live the era, in the sense that the San Jose Sharks of what we knew before are no longer. That's just a very, very obvious statement. There is no more Jumbo, there is no more Marlowe, there is no more Pavs, there is no more Timo, there is no more Burns, there is no more Carlson, there is no more Hurdle now. Logan Couture has only played in a handful of games throughout the entirety of the season. The only players that remain from the 2019 Western Conference Final now are Couture, Vlasic, and LeBanc. Couture right now isn't playing. LeBanc, it seems like his time with the franchise is coming to an end. Vlasic is towards the end of his career. I don't know how much longer he's going to go, but these are all the realities that we're talking about with the San Jose Sharks right now. But as that era is coming to a close, right, with that trade of Hurdle really being the, you know, the signaling, you know, moment that it had truly come to an end, combined with Logan Couture's injury and, you know, Mark-Edward Vlasic getting not any younger, having Thomas Bortolo score a multi-goal game assisted by Fabian Zetterlund on that first goal, that to me felt like, okay, this is indicative of something. This is the future that everybody has been waiting for. And Magnus Krona, again, this is a guy who has had some very bad play in front of him in his NHL very brief career where he has not been able to do much. And he got some great hockey in front of him, and he made the big stops when he had to in this game. this again felt like exactly what you'd been waiting for, having that next generation step up. And yes, there were some veterans who made their presence known in this game. That's always going to be how it goes. You had Mikhail Granlin playing in his 800th National Hockey League game. That should not, you know, go unnoticed by anyone. That is an incredible accomplishment. But, you know, Mikhail Granlin in that game had two assists. Thomas Bortolo had two goals. So you've got those guys who are, you know, at opposite ends of their career, not the end for Granlin, but he's a very much established veteran. He had 2 points. Bortolo had two goals. Zetterlund had an assist. Eklund had an assist. Those players, you know, Granlin, Bortolo, Zetterlund, Eklund, that's the face of the modern Sharks right now. I don't know that Granlin is going to be here beyond the offseason because I'm sure some teams would be looking at him. I hope he's around, though, because he plays very good hockey. And then you get to Bortolo, Zetterlund, and Eklund. They represent the future. And I think it's hard to ignore that you need the future right now. You do not need any of the past in the sense that Burns isn't going to come to the rescue. Jumbo isn't going to come to the rescue. You know, there's no Dan Boyle that's suddenly going to show up tomorrow and be scoring from, you know, the blue line. Like, these are just, this is not what the Sharks are anymore. And it's now watching guys like the Lund brothers, Zetterlund, Granlund, and Eklund, combined with Thomas Bortolo, combined with, you know, Mario Ferraro doing his thing. And, you know, we're going to get more and more of a view of the future here in the next couple of weeks. I'm sure more players will be coming up from the Shark or from the Barracuda to show us what they've got. But you watch, you know, Nico Sturm, you watch Henry Thrun. You know, these are guys who are part of the future. And, you know, it's only fitting that as a Tomáš Hertl exits the building, that the next game is won in large part to the exploits of a Thomas Bortolo. Like, those types of things are not lost on me. You know, from Tomáš to Thomas, that's from one generation to the next. And then, you know, like I said, watching Magnus Crona make the big stops, he talked about how big it was. He talked about coming close in Dallas and then having this moment rear its head for him. It's exciting stuff just because you needed to have that type of a game. The emotions had been so down, and the Sharks, even over the course of that losing streak, still had some good games in there that weren't rewarded and had some things that did not go their way. But now, again, you have a new slate, clean slate in front of you. You know, the word was after the trade deadline, it was like, okay, well, you've got, you know, it's a 20-game season now. See what your record is. Now they're 1-0. And I know that that's not going to be enough to make people happy about what has happened over the course of the last couple of days. Even if they understand it, I don't think anybody's happy about losing an iconic player. And I don't think anybody's happy about the way that this year is gone. I know Mike Greer talked about it the other day, saying that, you know, the overall season had gone worse than they had expected, which I think is largely in part due to the injuries they had sustained. I don't think anybody could have expected the Sharks to be injured to the extent that they were this year. But this was a feel-good moment at a time of not crisis, I will say, because it was of their own volition. They agreed to trade, you know, Tomáš Hertl, and Tomáš Hertl agreed to be traded. He had a no movement clause that was part of this. It, you know, we've all got to take all these things into context. It didn't make it hurt any less, but, you know, like I said, while it wasn't time of crisis, the emotions had been down and you needed a feel good moment. And to watch, you know, again, Granlund have a 2-assist game, Bortolo have a 2-goal game, Eklund, Zetterlund getting in on the assist, Magnus Crona. This was a win for the future, even if it happened now in the present. They're not going to go 20-0 to end the season. It will probably be in line with the rest of their win percentage throughout the entirety of the year, but the Sharks gave themselves a fighting chance, and that's what they need to do for the remainder of the regular season. As they go out on now this 5-game road trip, they're going to have to fight like hell. It's going to be at Philadelphia, at Pittsburgh, at Columbus, at Chicago, and at Nashville before they're back home to face Tampa, and then they will see, in addition to Anthony Duclair that night, then they've got Chicago and Dallas before they're back out on the road for two against Minnesota and St. Louis to end the month. And then they get into the month of April. It's Seattle, it's LA, it's the Blues, it's Arizona, and it's Calgary at home. Then you're at Seattle, then you're hosting Minnesota, and then you're at Edmonton and at Calgary to end the year. I mean, folks, it's coming at us fast. And, you know, the unfortunate thing is that in a season like this, and I will admit I am still spoiled from the past where the Sharks were always seemingly promised, a couple rounds of playoffs, if not greater. I don't want to see this team come to an end in now 19 more games. I enjoy what I watch with the San Jose Sharks. I enjoy seeing now what Thomas Bordalo can do, what William Eklund can do, what Fabian Zetterlund can do, what Magnus Crona can do. It's been tough to lose all the games, right? But you're now moving into a point where we get to see more about the Sharks' future. And even if the future still is a way off in the future, for lack of a better expression, it's exciting to see Thomas Bordalo come in. Thomas Bordalo, you know, he's been put in a situation where he's had to prove himself at the American Hockey League level. He's getting this chance now, and he's making the most of it. And that's exactly what you want to see. He's had goals in the last two games. He's had three in his last two games. He's scoring. He's making an impact. This guy had a high draft status. I like his IQ. I like his game. He's not going to overwhelm you with his, you know, athleticism, but he has a high hockey IQ and he has a high quality skill set. And I want to see this guy prove himself that he can be part of the future of the San Jose Sharks, the same way that I want to see Fabian Zetterlund continue to score, the same way that I want to see William Eklund continue to score, the same way that I want to see Mikael Granlund continue to rack up the points over the course of his NHL career. I mean, these are loose times in the sense that there's no pressure on them, right? They're obviously playing to prove themselves. They're obviously playing to, you know, try and fight for the future and prove they can be part of the Sharks from the start in the 2024-2025 season, which is a strange thing to say. But, you know, they're not in the midst of a playoff battle. They're not in the midst of trying to, you know, make it in. They're not in a desperate situation. And there could be a looseness that comes from here to the end of the season that could be buoyed by a confidence of knowing that, hey, they have nothing to lose. And I think there are dangerous teams in the NHL right now that probably don't want to go up against a team like the Sharks that does have nothing to lose. And I think that's somewhat the way they played last night. And you can say, well, Ted, they were going up against Ottawa, not a great team. Well, yeah, they'd gone against some great teams and lost. They'd gone against bad teams and lost. They'd gone against good teams and, you know, middling teams and lost. But they'd also done that against upper echelon teams. The Sharks have shown over the course of this season that they have the ability to beat anyone, and they've had the ability to do it in any fashion, whether it's outscoring the opposition in a wild comeback or doing it in overtime or whatever it's been. They have proven the ability this year that they can win hockey games. They've also proven the ability that they can lose hockey games, like we saw against Dallas. So again, this was a game that they needed. This was one that I think we all knew they would get eventually. I didn't expect them to lose for the rest of the season. And now they can focus on the here and now. Just make the most of their opportunities, play good hockey, and finish out the season. All right, let's get into some of the highlights from last night. Thomas Bordalo caught the tip, initially credited to Fabian Zetterlund, as the Sharks took the early lead.
Brady Tkachuk went in for tripping at 5:32 of this first period. Minute 14 left on that penalty. Sharks on the power play here setting up. Nice feed to Granlund into the slot. Zetterlund shoots, score! Fabian Zetterlund snapping that puck on that second chance. And it's up top, and it beats Corposalo. The Sharks score on the power play, and they lead 1-0.
Like I said, they originally credited that to Zetterlund before they gave it to Thomas Bordalo. And by the way, I've had to catch myself from saying Sebastian Bordalo a couple of times, his dad who played in the National Hockey League. So if I've accidentally slipped up and said Sebastian as opposed to Thomas, I apologize. I was reading about how this was Thomas's first multi-goal NHL game, whereas his dad, Sebastian, had four NHL multi-goal games, where now his dad's name is stuck in my head as well. So if I have said Sebastian at any point, I apologize. I've tried to catch it when I've said it. But let's look more at this game. Magnus Crona, got to give him some credit. Dude came up with some huge saves.
Fans are giving the Sens defenseman Jacob Bernard Docker a little bit of a hard time, but he fed it forward. 3-on-2 break, fed in front. Batherson, a shot, what a save by goaltender Crona. A tic-tac-toe set of passes. Brady Tkachuk, I don't know how he saw Batherson trailing the play coming in, but from the left wing side on the zone entry, he fed it off to the right, and what a one-timer right on net there. But great glove save from Magnus Crona off of Batherson with 2:24 gone by in the second.
We'll hear more from Crona on the other side to get at some of his post-game reaction, but just so good to see him make those big stops and have the opportunity to make those big stops. In fact, the only puck that got by him was a screen on a power play goal. You can't really give him a hard time about that. That's how it's going to go in the NHL sometimes, and Magnus Crona, I'm sure, is well aware of that at this point, but he was phenomenal throughout the game yesterday, made some big, big stops in the big, big moments, and that's how you go about winning games in the NHL. You are tested, and at the critical moments, you pass those tests or you fail, And yesterday, Krona passed. Second period, we are tied. Tim Stützle had found the back of a net on a power play goal, matching the Sharks' earlier power play goal. But the Sharks said, how about one more power play goal? And how about one more from Thomas Bortolo?
Granlund behind the net. 25 seconds to go on the Sharks' power play to Eklund in the right wing corner. Back to Granlund behind the goal. He's got Zetterlund near side, but goes to the middle. Here comes the shot. Score! Thomas Bortolo, a one-time shot. The pass from behind the net by Granlund, and a good celebration for the young Thomas Bortolo as he picks up his second goal of the game and fourth of the year. It puts the Sharks in front 2-1, and yes, it's a power play goal.
From that point on, it was a mad dash to the finish. The Sharks were able to hold on. Magnus Krona gets his first ever win. The Sharks get their first win since February 15th. They snap their 9-game slide, and they have a lot to feel better about as they wake up this morning. Looks like they've got a couple of off days before they fly on Monday. Well, they get Sunday off and Monday off to travel as well. But, you know, they get a little bit of time off to recover from all the craziness that the last couple days have had surrounding them. And then they now fly across the country to take on Philadelphia Tuesday afternoon at 4. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into some post-game reaction and more. You're on Morning Tide, presented by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Fans are giving the Sens defenseman Jacob Bernard Docker a little bit of a hard time, but he fed it forward. 3-on-2 break, fed in front. Batherson, a shot, what a save by goaltender Krona. A tic-tac-toe set of passes. Brady Tkachuk, I don't know how he saw Batherson trailing the play coming in, but from the left wing side on the zone entry, he fed it off to the right, and what a one-timer right on net there, but great glove save from Magnus Krona off of Batherson with 2:24 gone by in the second.
Yeah, thank you. It feels unreal. Something I've obviously dreamed my entire life. Took a little bit of time, but I was very happy that it happened tonight at home in front of all of these guys. So,
Magnus Krona, feeling good for him. He had obviously had some rough moments up to this point in his NHL career. He had, of course, that game where he came in relief where the Sharks gave up 10 goals against Pittsburgh, and that was certainly not on him. And then his first ever start against Edmonton was not his fault at all, as the team essentially disappeared in front of him. He had the tough shootout loss in Dallas, in which he played a hell of a game. And then last night, finally broke through with that first win at a critical moment for the franchise. It's not going to be one that he soon forgets. But yeah, especially after how close he came against Dallas, this one was big.
Yeah, I just trust how I play. Like you said, I'm happy to be here. It's a joy every day. So I just try to make the best out of the chance.
And of course, a huge factor in this game was the way that the Sharks played in front of him, just going absolutely all out to stop shots, to get in the way of things, to make life difficult for Ottawa. Not unnoticed by Krona.
Oh, unreal. It was totally a team effort tonight. Everyone played out their best, I think, and it was just a great win for the team, and yeah.
Yeah, very happy for Magnus Krona, and I know that Kaapo Kähkönen was always somebody that I enjoyed and appreciated their game with San Jose, and I was sad to see him go, but, you know, as you turn the page, now you got to see a lot of Kaapo over the last couple of years. Now you're going to see a lot of Magnus Krona at least till the end of the year, and I want to see him have these chances, have these opportunities, make the most of it, and continue to have games like the one he did last night, helping the Sharks get a win. Thomas Bortolo, first ever multi-goal game in the National Hockey League, leading the Sharks to a 2-1 win. He, of course, represents the future. He talked about what the win meant afterwards with Artturas Sloan.
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, kind of we're trying to show each other what we can do out there and how we can play together. And it was good to see that we can. You know, we're creating a lot of plays out there. Obviously, it wasn't a high-scoring game, but you know, we hung out, you know, with them the whole game, and it was fun to be a part of that game. We were playing with a lot of pace, a lot of chemistry, and you know, it was my first trade deadline ever. You know, being a part of an NHL team and seeing the nerves. So yeah, I'm just happy to for the boys, you know, that, you know, weren't sure or whatever, or that are gone, to, you know, I wish them the best of luck, but I'm happy with what we got here, and it's a fun game to play.
Yeah, I love hearing how up for the moment Thomas Bortolo was. Like, this did not sound like something that was too big for him, but you could tell it meant a lot to him, right? Like, and that's, I think, what the whole point of what, you know, Mike Greer and the Sharks organization have been doing in keeping guys like Thomas Bortolo at the American League level for longer. They did it with William Eklund. They wanted them to earn it. They wanted them to really have to fight to get up to this NHL level and really learn a lot about what it means to put in the grind at the American League level. And, you know, having Thomas Bortolo come up, and, you know, he's got a high skill set, high IQ. You listen to him talk, he's a very, very smart individual. He's confident. You know, I think that, again, he wants to be here, and he wants to prove that he wants to be here. And scoring 3 goals in 2 games, and also I flash back to the end of a couple years ago when he had the shootout winner against Vegas. You enjoy seeing it. You like seeing guys get these opportunities. Right now, Bortolo is getting an opportunity, and I hope that he continues to make the most of it. More from Bortolo. On the team, just kind of turning things around after what was described as a somber day Friday with the trade of Tomáš Hertl.
I mean, it's just part of this game, really. There's so many highs, so many lows, and, you know, obviously Tommy and Kapo and, you know, Dukes, you know, are a big part of the team, and seeing them leave like that, it's definitely difficult, because, you know, obviously you grow bonds with them outside of the rink. So, yeah, I mean, it was an emotional day, but we had to get back at it. We did it, and, you know, it felt pretty good.
And he talked about his own game and the fact that he's scoring left and right in his last 2 games.
I mean, you know, just kind of little lucky bounces, good spots. And, yeah, I mean, we've been playing, you know, our power play has been buzzing, obviously. We moved the puck pretty well, and it was fun to be, you know, part of that, playing with a player like Granny or Ecky or, you know, Zets, Addy. It makes it easy. They kind of find you and everything. So, no, it was awesome to be a part of that. And, yeah, I mean, you know, hopefully I'll keep scoring.
And he was asked if there's any difference in his mindset this time around, anything that's changed, obviously playing the wing as opposed to center, but these were his thoughts.
It's kind of just about time for me to, you know, take this step and be confident in my NHL game. You know, I feel like maybe before, I don't know if, you know, it was the nerves, or, you know, I felt like I didn't necessarily belong there because I wasn't pro for that long or anything. But, you know, I think now it's more of, you know, I belong to be here. It's time to, you know, help the team win, and it's time to be dominant on the ice like I know I can be, so yeah.
Mikael Granlund, again, in his 800th National Hockey League game, had a big day for the San Jose Sharks, registering 2 assists. David Quinn talked about Granny after the game.
Well, that's Granny. You know, he's been doing that his whole career. He's the ultimate team player, and, you know, we're fortunate to have him. I've said it since the day we got him. I mean, this guy's got a lot of hockey left in him, and he's a very, very important part of this organization. I've got a ton of respect for him as a player and a person, and, you know, our organization's in good hands when you got people like him leading it.
Mikael Granlund was the guest of honor for Dan and Drew in last night's post-game interview. This is what he had to say.
How you feeling after that block?
You feel good about those, you know. It's been a while since we won a hockey game, so the feeling is good.
So that game today, would you say it was a grind? You guys just had to find a way to win that game?
Yeah, it was one of those, but I'm really happy the way we played, actually, the third period. That was kind of the winning hockey. You know, kind of remember what happened against Dallas.
Yep.
That was the way you play when you're leading the game. You don't need to do anything special. You just do your job, have certain shifts, and, you know, at the end of the day, you get the win. So that was a good learning experience for the team, for sure.
Especially after yesterday, which was an emotional day yesterday, according to your head coach, and some friends leave, some teammates leave, and now the leadership mantle, if there is one, or if there's a torch, it gets passed to you, it gets passed to Nico, it gets passed to even Fabian. Do you have to do anything different? Do you have to be different in the room?
Personally, no.
Yeah, okay.
I'm doing my job. I, you know, obviously it's been the whole season. I'm one of the older guys in the team. You know, you just try to show some example. Work your butt off every single day, and you know, hopefully you can show some example for the young kids. So, but you know, that's all you do. You need to be you, and just, you know, do your best out there. And obviously, whenever there's a chance, I'm more than willing to help the younger kids to, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just about playing hockey and being yourself and enjoying this.
Do you reflect back? This is game 800. Do you ever get a chance or ever sit down and reflect back on 800 games in the National Hockey League?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of that.
Yes.
Being able to play that long, and obviously the way I've been playing this season, I'm really happy, and hopefully there's many more years ahead.
100%. You've been great with the San Jose Sharks. It's fantastic. Congratulations on 800. Great game today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I love how laid back about everything Mikhail Granlund is as well. He's very just matter of fact, almost nonchalant about what he needs to do about his game. I've appreciated that about him all year long with the San Jose Sharks. And yeah, he had a huge game. He's had a great career. I hope he continues to be a part of the San Jose Sharks going forward. And, you know, performances like last night remind you of why they brought him in. And he's, you know, when he's been healthy this year, he's been absolutely phenomenal. So it's been fun to watch. Before we run out of time, I wanted to give you a snippet of my interview with Curtis Pichelka that I did, which you can hear on the build-up, Game 63 versus Ottawa. But I didn't have time for everything in that show, but this is where I left off. We were talking about the challenges ahead for David Quinn.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, that's sort of the challenge that, you know, David Quinn's going to have. We asked that today. It's like, how do you kind of you know, make sure everyone is kind of being a professional about this and is coming to work with a positive attitude and, you know, doesn't say, woe is me. How come I'm not on a contending team right now? And, you know, some guys, you know, I'm sure there was a few guys in that locker room were kind of hoping for a change of scenery. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. But now that, you know, a lot of those guys who are on expiring contracts are still here, they, you know, the onus is on them to sort of come to work every day and be a professional and play for their next contract, regardless of where they are in their career. So it's going to be on the coaching staff to keep these guys motivated and engaged. But it's also going to be on the individuals themselves to make sure that they're coming to work with the right mindset, so it doesn't affect other players, especially some of your young guys who, like you said, are eager to play and eager to sort of put their establish themselves in this league.
I know you wrote about it the other day. You know what fans can look forward to, and in terms of the prospects that we might see. I mean, obviously Thomas Bordeleau was up. I am expecting that Shakir Mukhmadulin will probably be brought up quickly as well. I mean, what is your level of expectation for who will be seen between now and April 18th when the season comes to an end for the Sharks?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see a few guys here and there. I think, you know, Mike Greer indicated that today, that, you know, some guys will come up and get a taste. I would imagine that, you know, Jack Thompson's going to come up and get a look here at some point. And, you know, Shakir's been up a little bit. Gushin's been up a little bit. You know, does a guy like Ethan Cardwell come up and get a little bit of a look? Is there another young guy on that team who could, you know, just come up? You just want to get a taste and kind of see where they're at right now in their development. You know, there's a little bit like last year where some guys just came in and, you know, on a rotating basis almost kind of come up for 2-3 games and got a little bit of a taste of the NHL, what it's like, and sort of whet their appetites for the offseason. So yeah, I would expect at least a handful of guys to sort of get that chance coming up here. But you know, doesn't mean that some of the other guys that the Sharks have right now are just gonna go away. They want to play too. So it'll be interesting how it all kind of pans out for the Sharks and what they plan to do here over the next 6 weeks.
And we are just about out of time on today's edition of Morning Tide. We will be back with you, of course, on Tuesday afternoon as we get ready for the Sharks to take on the Flyers in Philadelphia. That'll be a 3:30 pregame, 4 o'clock go time with the Sharks on the East Coast. I always appreciate a little afternoon hockey matinee listening time for us as we get to see the Sharks on their final East Coast road trip of the year. Remember, they are at Philadelphia on Tuesday, at Pittsburgh on Thursday, at Columbus on Saturday, then on Sunday they are at Chicago, And then they wrap it up Tuesday afternoon at Nashville before they're back home Thursday night to see the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right, for the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.